Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Our guest this evening is Alfred Weber. Alfred is a graduate of Yale University, Yale Law School. He is a Fulbright Scholar. Alfred has taught economics at Yale University and constitutional law at the University of Texas. He is a lawyer, and he has been a judge. Alfred has an internet radio program. The important URLs for his radio program are youtube.com/userexopoliticsTV, exopolitics.blogs.com. And probably his newest site is called newsinsideout.com, and he's got a whole library of film interviews that he's done, and it's really worth you checking out. Alfred is a very interesting individual indeed. I just chatted with Alfred. Yeah, he'll be joining us very shortly, so he will be on the show here. Don't worry. I guarantee you that. I've been listening to some interesting interviews of a man named William Tompkins, he's 95 years old. I thought I would just tell you about this until Alfred actually calls in. He's going to call in very shortly. This William Tompkins, you can look out on YouTube and Google William Tompkins. He's 95 years old. He has worked for companies like Douglas and TRW. He claims that the Germans in World War II had some, and even some of the American companies, had contacts with Nordic extraterrestrials, as well as allegedly some reptilian extraterrestrials. He claimed that we got electromagnetic anti-gravity kind of technology during that time, and that when we went to the moon, one of the interesting things that occurred before we actually even went to the moon, we sent up a few satellites there to film, and one of the strange things that they saw on the moon was a building. They saw ancient buildings on the dark side of the moon, but they also saw a building that was suspended in the middle of the air, and it was floating. It was about a quarter of a mile long, I think, and it was translucent. And the other thing that William Tompkins talked about is that when Neil Armstrong first went up, and he first came out of the limb, he planted some other flags before the United States flag. He planted a flag of a secret society, and he did some kind of ritual or something associated with this secret society. And then they did the you know, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind thing after that. And so that's what we saw. Well, also, allegedly, I mean, this is all what this one man is saying, around the rim of the crater near where the limb had landed were these gigantic extraterrestrial craft that were just hovering a few feet above the ground. So I thought I would just throw that out to you. That's some stuff you can watch on the internet. There's some really interesting stuff. Now, I'm going to send Alfred a quick message again and see what's holding him up. you should be calling in quickly. He started a little bit late last time. The last show we did, he also set it up, so he kind of filmed it. He filmed himself while we were having our discussion. And that is available. If you Google Alfred Weber Artificial Intelligence, you'll be able to find that. So anyway, I just sent another Skype message to Alfred not 10, 15 minutes ago. We chatted back and forth, so he should be calling in shortly. I am going to move on and wait for Alfred. I want to talk a little bit about the Meyer case. Billy Meyer, he lives in Switzerland. He's about 89 years old now. He lives in a tiny mountain village in Switzerland that's called Hinterschmidruti. It's about 52 minutes east of Zurich. And he has a building on his property that's called the Semyase Silver Star Center. It's where a group called FIGU meets. And FIGU does translations of the Meyer material. There's so much written material associated with Billy Meyer's contacts. He has over 2,000 contact reports. He's written over 40 books. I don't know how many other kinds of bulletins he's written. His writings answer all the big questions in life. Who are we? Where do we come from? What is the purpose of our existence? And one of the most interesting things about the Meyer writings is the way they describe the universal consciousness. They don't use the term God. The Meyer material says there's a superintelligence which runs our universe, but it's not a Heavenly Father. It's really neither good nor evil. It is a neutral positive spirit. It builds universes as a part of its own evolution, and it creates laws in the universe that apply to everyone. One of these laws is called the law of love, and love is the first creational natural law. He describes an effective love as opposed to an affective love. Affective love is romantic, where effective love is a love that's based on respect and veneration. And hopefully the people on the earth will learn the difference between the two, and we will start to heal. Because I think this particular election has been very divisive in some ways, and that has caused, unfortunately, a potential for a civil war. And that's one of the things the Meyer material has been warning of, is a potential civil war in the United States. Billy says that there will two civil wars will come in the United States, and that our country will break up into five different areas. And, you know, as time has gone on, I've hoped more and more that Billy will be wrong about some of these predictions and prophecies. I'm talking right now about the Henoch prophecies. It's interesting because Billy's first contacts were with a man named Svoth. Svoth was an extraterrestrial of about 950 years old who landed his strange pear-shaped craft in northern Switzerland. Billy grew up in northern Switzerland in an place called Bulak, near an area called the Glatt Valley. Svoth was a very important individual. He impacted Billy's life very much. He was his mentor for 11 years. Svoth used to take him up into his craft, and the craft would go up into Earth orbit and look down at a beautiful blue and white world. And young Billy, at 5 years old was getting a perspective that most of us never have. Svoth also taught Billy about his previous lives, and Billy had been the people that today we call Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. And in each one of these previous lives, he taught this ancient universal teaching called the teaching of the spirit. And the teaching of the spirit talks about these creational natural laws and reincarnation. And for example, one of the things that me and Alfred talked about in the last show was reincarnation, which we kind of ended the show with. And by the way, I am looking at Skype here. Alfred said he would be coming on the show at 8 p.m. Eastern. I got a message from him. I hope nothing particularly bad has happened. He's on Skype. He's green. He's supposed to be calling in. I've given him the call-in number. So we're all good to go here. If I drone on about the Meyer case, it's just because Alfred has not responded yet. You know, I spend a lot of time talking about the Meyer case and going over the Meyer notes, and I do have a caller. So let's cross our fingers. Hopefully this is Alfred. Is this Alfred?
Hi.
Levin?
Yes, it
Alfred,
is.
Welcome to the show. I was
Thank you.
Stalling very well. It's good to have you on the show. You know, I think our last interview got some recognition. About 10,000 people or so watched the program. So I think people are paying attention. And I'm noticing that your interviews are getting more and more recognition, and there are more and more people watching your programs. That must be encouraging. Is that encouraging to you, Alfred?
Well, that's a very deep discussion. because I don't understand statistics on YouTube.
Do you think
some
they're
of my interviews get 250,000, some get 100,000, some get 7,000, some get 10,000, and it's very difficult to know which ones and why. Some interviews, they say, this subject matter is not suitable for advertising. So
oh, really?
It's going to be really weird out there in the blogosphere.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Last time we talked, I was concerned about the election. I was concerned that Hillary might get elected. She had made it clear that she was willing to go to war with Russia over Syria. So I think we may have averted World War III. Are you feeling any more hopeful towards the future in terms of peace than maybe you were a month or so ago?
Well, I think that it's a very interesting time that has kind of popped open, right?
Mm-hmm.
With new, assuming today is Wednesday, November 30th, and I just finished reading a very rigorous article on the state of the recount, which is proceeding at the petition of the Green Party and the Democrats. So I don't know whether that's going to have any effect or not, but there's, you know, theoretically they're going forward. The consensus appears to be that it's not going to overturn the election. Mm. And of course, News Inside Out published an article on November 3rd, I think it was, stating that Trump was a time travel pre-identified president going back to 1971. And he was pre-identified by the DARPA CIA quantum access time travel program that in 1971, according to witnesses, pre-identified presidents, Bush 1, Bill Clinton, Bush 2, Obama, and Trump, and has mentioned other people as persons of interest, including one of their chrononauts, Andy Bushago, as a possible future president. There was also a mention of Newt Gingrich in there at some point, but, you know, so there's a lot of fragmentary leaks that we only know because of whistleblowers that come from what I've termed to be the chronogarchy. That's the time government, the shadow time government that exists in the dimension of time, because we don't know if they're governing from the future or from the past, but they have pre-identified, at least at the presidential level, U.S. presidents we know, going back to George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, Barack Obama, Donald Trump. And not only that, but they've briefed them and they've groomed them over the years. So you get this continuity of policy. And it's no accident in my book that the estate of Marjorie Meriwether Post, Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach, which is worth at least $150 million, which was willed by her to the Department of Interior 20 years ago as the summer White House, made its way from the Department of Interior to Donald Trump for $6 million because the chronogarchy said, well, let's just give it to Trump and it'll be part of his grandstanding, because they could just manage public affairs in the United States and I believe in other countries using secret time travel technology. And as I've detailed in my book, The Omniverse, and in articles that people can see at exopolitics.com and newsinsideout.com, I had a meeting in 1971 with about 50 members of the secret DARPA CIA time travel team. Hello?
You personally had a meeting with these people?
Yes.
And how many of them were there again?
About 50. I detail this in my book, and also I published an article several years ago about the meeting on exopolitics.com, because it corroborates the evidence that chrononaut Andrew D. Bushago gave that my book, Exopolitics, was time traveled by the secret CIA DARPA time travel project from 2005, when it was first published, back to 1971, where it was verified in the presence of Andrew Bushago, who was then a six to seven-year-old childhood participant in the time travel project, in the presence of two other witnesses, one of whom was his father, who was an officer in the program, and another person when my book was brought to his presence in a secret satchel that they bring secret time travel materials that have been brought from the future back into the past. And out popped a copy of Exopolitics by Alfred Lemuel Weber. And that was the first time that he saw the book Exopolitics. And concurrently, at the time, in 1971, I was general counsel of the Environmental Protection Administration in New York City under Mayor John Lindsay, and part of my job was to speak to the public on the environment, and I was invited in 1971, by this group. They asked me to go out and speak to them, and when they picked me up, it was not the typical student or housewife. It was a man in a suit, very formal, and we drove for a couple of hours, probably into New Jersey, the Delaware Valley, and we went up to a nondescript second floor office building, and there were about 50 men in suits and coats and ties or shirts and ties, and I knew right away that this was not an environmental meeting, that this was some sort of clandestine, that they were government employees of some sort. And I was there under the pretense of giving them a talk on the environment, but really I was speaking to 50 employees of DARPA and CIA time travel unit who had been briefed on my book, Exopolitics, that I would write in 1999 and be published in 2005, and on my future activities, because they were probably hacking into my future using either Chronovision or some other mode of time travel surveillance. And that's how the Chronogarchy operates. So I first reported this on exopolitics.com several years ago. I also, it's data that's reported in my book on the Omniverse. And we reported in newsinsideout.com something that we knew since around June 20th, 2016. And that is that the CIA had pre-identified Donald J. Trump going back to at least 1971 as the future U.S. president. Through various consultations of experts, we waited, we did not want to interfere with free will. We consulted spiritual experts, et cetera, and I did not want to play God. And we let the Democratic convention go forward. We let the Republican convention go forward. And a few days before the election, we released the news. And the news was correct. So I guess it was a correct hypothesis.
Do you see multiple timelines going on simultaneously? For example, are there different Alfreds in each one of these different timelines that are doing different things? Or is time not that way? How do you see time in the big picture?
You know, that is a really interesting question. At the recommendation of several people in interviews over the last week or so, my wife and I went to see Arrival over a couple of nights ago, and I recommend that because it's all about time and how an insectoid species that arrives at Earth and has a a multilinear, nonlinear concept of time interacts with humans, and because their language is nonlinear.
Oh boy!
And so it's you know, and so I think that's part of the quote ascension process that's happening now, which is actually an exopolitical process. It's what we call density ascension, and it's something that we understand more the cosmological, sort of the cosmological processes of, now that we can prove that there is an omniverse, which is the third cosmological body after the universe and the multiverse, through which humanity understands our cosmos. And what the omniverse is simply that the universe is sort of our organic unit of time, energy, space, and matter. And the multiverse, and this is getting to your question, and the multiverse is the collection of all of the universes that exist. Now, the omniverse is something that materialistic science refused to acknowledge because they could not prove the, quote, afterlife. They could not prove other dimensions that existed outside of time. And so we were able to make, science has always been able to prove that. You can prove it through various sciences, parapsychology, exopolitics. And so in 2014, we finally made a breakthrough and were able to establish the existence of the omniverse, which is the definition of the omniverse equals, the omniverse equals the universes of the multiverse plus the spiritual dimensions, which are the afterlife, the spiritual dimensions, the spiritual entities, source, you know, all of the unseen dimensions. And that two scientists at Stanford recently calculated the number of universes in the multiverse. That number is so large, we don't have a name for it. It's 10 to the 7th to the 7th. However, if you had to write out that number, it would be more than 260 million miles long. So that's the number of universes there are. Now, I think that means more than there are all these timelines in which there are multiple doppelgangers of yourself that are doing all kinds of stuff. I would hope that the fact that there are 10 to the 7th to the 7th universes means that there's something interesting going on in those other universes besides a bunch of doppelgangers, right? I would say that, man, that's like rather weird, right? That's not very interesting to me, anyway. It doesn't sound interesting. We have not discovered yet, or rather, we have not had reports back yet from that have been published, or at least I haven't seen reports from some of the adjacent universes. But I understand it's very different. Now, the doppelganger question can be that, but as I understand it, you're really talking about major kind of trunk line timelines, not sort of mirror timelines. That would be the timelines that between major cycles, I think. For example, what we call yugas, or the great years, and those are the 25,580 year cycles around the equinoxes. And one of those cycles is just now ending, called the Kali Yuga. And in the Mayan calendrics, it just ended in December 21st, 2012. I think that they're all actually just one big cycle, but, you know, the different systems are sort of calculating them slightly differently. And we now are about to exit the Kali Yuga, which is three parts sin to one part virtue. That's the age that we're exiting. It's that's the kind of the cosmological density, third density, and we're going to be entering a golden age. And so that's why everything is basically sucks, you know. Public affairs and shit. I mean, everything sucks. And it's the end of the Kali Yuga. So, however, the good news is that if you go to the yogic scholars, they say, oh, it's the portal is opening up in 2025, and that's 7 years down the road, you know, between now. And so, you know, so you can look at the Trump transition to from the Kali Yuga to the Satya Yuga. It's kind of an optimistic way to look at these things, I would say, from a kind of a spiritual exopolitical standpoint.
Do you remember the movie, Tom Cruise movie called The Edge of Tomorrow, where he's in a time loop and he's reliving a day where he's killed by these ETs called the Mimics, and eventually he learns through trial and error how to fight back and help, you know, humanity survive. So have you ever studied that phenomena of the time loop? Is there such a thing?
Well, people have been holding various theories that you can look at a yuga, you know, at this 25,800 year period that we've been on, this kind of age, as a time loop, and it was a fairly heavy one. And, you know, how did it end up? It ended up with a century of world wars and genocide, and, you know, the ecology is just going, you know, to shreds, and for the last 250,000 years we've known through exopolitics that the galaxy that we're in, or the quadrant of the galaxy that we're in exopolitically, has been in war. You know, we've been in war with the Orion. You know, it's been kind of a Star Wars. We've been invaded by the Draco reptilians. The Anunnaki have made a mess of us. They've introduced hierarchies. We're on a planet of war, disease, crime, and poverty, et cetera, et cetera. So where is the golden age, right? Well, you have the archetypal liberation of the planet. You have the Buddha, the Christ, all these kind of forward souls that come in for the liberation. And that's beginning to happen now. And now we're approaching the moment of the beginning of the opening of the portal for the ascension, which is a planetary dimensional ascension from third density to fourth and fifth density that occurs every three yugas, and that's every 75,000 plus years, according to some, you know, calculations. And that is why the advanced ETs are here. That's why they're producing all the hybrids, is to assist in the planetary ascension. And that's I call that an ascension hypothesis, because that's an hypothesis that makes sense of some of the exopolitical data where the hybrids say, we're here to assist in the ascension. Some of the ETs say, we're helping with, you know, in expanding human consciousness. There's a gray ET projects in our immediate environment where you have grays with hybrid human souls are bringing and incarnating hybrid humans with hybrid human souls are incarnating into humans and are leavening the whole process on Earth. And Suzanne Hansen, who's head of disclosure in New Zealand, she's an example of it. And she's, you know, tells a story in her book of how she met the soul of her future son when she went on, she was beamed on a gray spaceship when she was 8 years old, and she met the soul of her future son there, and that soul was a hybrid gray human soul, as is Suzanne's soul. And fast forward to when she was married and pregnant, and they went up there and they had a special operation. A special gray came in and embedded the soul of her son into the fetus of her son that was in her womb, and then came down. He was born. He's now about 30 in New Zealand as a lawyer, and is, you know, has a socially useful life. So this is sort of what is going on in the dimensional ecology. It doesn't fit with the pictures of traditional Abrahamic religions, but it's the reality that's happening. How these two pictures of the traditional Abrahamic realities and what really goes on in the dimensional ecology, how that's going to fit is going to be a really interesting question as the ascension proceeds. And so as exopoliticians, we have to be conscious and monitor all of that. Usually that's been behind kind of the breakaway civilization and behind all kinds of classification, and they've kept Earth kind of quarantined and isolated, almost like in a greenhouse, and they've let all the Abrahamic religions kind of fight it out, and they haven't let them know about all this stuff. But we'll see now if in 2017, because the Abrahamic religions have almost come into breakdown, you know, all they seem to want to do is do Armageddon and kind of break things down, maybe they'll be open to letting some advance, you know, letting what's been going on forever, which is extraterrestrial genetic manipulation of primates, which is what humans are, go on. I don't know how much, you know, humanity can stand, because their leaders are always so crazy.
Alfred, do you think that you are being impulsed or influenced by extraterrestrial intelligence?
Yeah, I actually right now I'm in the process of writing a book. It's called Awakening, and it's a book about my personal experiences 1978 to 2016 while I was doing this, while I've been doing all my exopolitical work. Mm-hmm. And, so I've been doing my exopolitical work, but at the same time, I've been having all these multidimensional, interdimensional experiences and being contacted and communicating with, you know, interdimensionals and spiritual beings and all this kind of stuff. And so this book is intended just to you know, not like Exopolitics or the Omniverse, which were scientific books, but this book is intended just to share some of the spiritual experiences and communications, you know, and experiences that I've been having at the personal level with interdimensional entities and spiritual beings and, you know, other stuff. I mean, you know, that even the anti-disclosure forces have also tried.
Have you had any experiences with extraterrestrial humans or experiences that would be 3D, three-dimensional, those sorts of things where you see an individual that you're, you know, under the belief is not from the Earth?
You know, to date, I have not met a person, you know, face-to-face that I would believe is not a human from Earth. That's just my reality. Now, because of my work, I interact with a lot of experiencers, and I interact with a lot of whistleblowers from U.S. and other programs that do interact with extraterrestrial species.
Have you done any research on the life of William Tompkins, who has stated that he worked for companies like TRW and Douglas? And he goes into huge detail about how the Germans in World War II had extraterrestrial contacts, and that's how they got a lot of their technology.
I can talk to you about it in a future program.
Ah, that sounds great. He, I'm very impressed with him. He's about 95 years old, correct?
Right.
He's a very interesting guy. You know, there is a, at one time, you were talking about another timeline where Washington, D.C. was under maybe 100 feet of water or so.
Yeah. This is, you know, and this is something that we all live through because I actually, coincidentally, when I first got into this field in 1973, the first book I wrote, in 1973, was called The Age of Cataclysm, which was the first book that integrated parapsychology with the psychic predictions of Edgar Cayce, who predicted a global coastal event happening around 2001, okay, in that area. Okay, so I wrote a book in 1973, published in 1974. And it was, you know, it was in all the airport bookstores, et cetera, et cetera. And I was on all the major TV programs at that time. And it gave rise to all that generation of books. You know, We Are the Earthquake Generation. It gave rise to all those maps where the West Coast starts at, you know, Nevada. You know what I'm saying? And so boom, and then when Andy Bishago and I met, he called me in the year 2000, and we began to have a kind of a debriefing research and friendship. He stated, and then we published that he had been on a one-time chronovisor probe from the year 1971 to the year 2013, and his target was the U.S. Supreme Court building in 2013, and it was under 100 feet of brackish water. So that was the second point, that in 1971 he had found the Supreme Court building under 100 feet of brackish water. And then in 2010, Dr. Courtney Brown of the Farsight Institute, who is brought it forward to my book, Exopolitics, put together, at the time, the largest gathering of military-trained remote viewers in history, and they went forward to examine the effects of global warming, and what they found in June of 2013 was a global coastal event that devastated all coasts worldwide. The Sydney Opera House was no longer there, and in Washington, D.C., the U.S. Capitol was devastated. So what was interesting is that both the 1971 secret, until Andy blew the whistle on it, CIA chronovisor study, and the 2010 Farsight Institute remote viewing study both converged on 2013 in Washington, D.C. as underwater. That I found really, really interesting. People can go and read all of this at positivefuture.info. Just go to positivefuture.info. Now, and this is the type of thing that's going to be in this book that's coming out. When June 2013 came about, the U.S. Supreme Court was still in session, and the Sydney Opera House is still here, and you know, the coastal cities are still here. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Everything's going. So we weren't in a catastrophe. And so Courtney Brown then came out and said, it happened in another dimension. And so my belief, or one hypothesis, is that, yes, of course it did, because that one unit of time in the Mayan calendrics that came to an end at December 21st, 2012, and you know, that portal opened up, and it's like you shifted. You know, in the old railroad yards where, you know, or trains going on to a different railroad track. I mean, I'm using a linear concept for a very nonlinear thing. But phew, we shifted onto a different, we're now in the entrance. We've shifted away from the Kali Yuga, and now we're entering into the Satya Yuga. And that is historic. And that is, you know, it's we're entering into a totally different density. It's fourth density, and it's a regularity of soul development in the universe and in the omniverse. And the reason why that those catastrophes didn't happen is because we shifted into a different density. There was a shift to a different timeline. And those are in some other timeline. And they're not on the timeline that we're on now, because we're actually inside another holographic reality in our holographic universe. Now, you know, which is composed of holographic timelines.
Let me shift gears a little bit, Alfred. I want to ask you a few questions on some other topics. in the 1980s, Bill Clinton's political cronies from a company called Health Management Associates were selling HIV and hepatitis C-laced prison inmate blood to the whole world blood market, and diseased blood was sold specifically to Canadians, and a whopping 20,000 Canadians were infected with hepatitis C, and something like 1,000 were infected with HIV. So I just wondered if you had researched that, if you knew about that.
I mean, it just sounds like, I just wonder whether that's an intentional war crime.
I mean, that's horrific, isn't it? I mean, what has happened? It's just so much corruption in the United States, and I'm glad it's coming to the surface. What are your thoughts on the whole Pizzagate thing?
Well, it's very interesting because there was just a new video shared tonight, supposedly, that The Daily Show with Trevor Noah is going to do a panel on Pizzagate.
Mm-hmm.
And the theory of this video was that kind of the alternative, all the alternative news people had been contacted to be on it, you know, like the Alex Jones person had
sure.
been contacted, who turned them down, and the person who did this video had been contacted, and he's going to accept it. And the reason why the Alex Jones person turned them down is because the Alex Jones person thinks that Pizzagate is authentic, and that is that there is a satanic pedophile ring that has used code words for its pedophile trafficking to include the word pizza and other words like that. And that the reason why The Daily Show was going to do a segment on it was to satirize it and thereby to discredit it. And Alex person was unwilling to participate in the discrediting of it because they were going to mock it as fake news. See, they were going to take it up there and say, and the latest in fake news is Pizzagate, right?
Right.
Now, if that happens, my estimate of Trevor Noah is going to go down a bit, let me tell you that.
What do you think about the mainstream media? They seem to have lost a lot of credibility this election cycle.
Well, as one person said, how can you have the population sit there for a $2 billion election, you know, an election where I think it was either $2 billion or $4 billion was spent over 2 years, and the press was just gaslighting the people. They were just broadcasting this fake gaslight at them, the whole thing, you know?
Yeah, it's terrible.
And people were just, like, incensed that you know, the media's been blowing smoke out of people's ears for 2 years at a cost of $2 billion or $4 billion, I don't know how many billion dollars. Like, how much fakery can you take 24 hours a day? I think everybody has got, you know, gaslighted, faked out, fake news. There was just fake news and fake candidates, right? And there's only so much fakery that you can do before the whole thing becomes a sham. I think, in fact, that the Clintons knew have known since 1971 that this is a hypothesis, because Bill Clinton was briefed in 1971 that he would be a future president, and he had entered Yale Law School in 1970 with Hillary Rodham in 1970. I'm sure that over the course of their political marriage or arrangement, she would have been briefed about it, right? So maybe the reason why this election was so bombastic is that all parties knew it was fake. You know, like today, I'm just looking today, everything is so fake. They had a Pakistan published the transcript of the conversation between the Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif and President-elect Donald Trump. And it's just like, it's like this exercise in blowfiating. You know what I'm saying? Just, President Trump said, Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif, you have a very good reputation. You are a terrific guy. You are doing amazing work, which is visible in every way. I am looking forward to see you soon. As I am talking to you, Prime Minister, I feel I am talking to a person I have known for long. Your country is amazing with tremendous opportunities. Pakistanis are one of the most intelligent people. I am ready and willing to play any role you want me to play to address and find solutions to the outstanding problems. It will be an honor, and I will personally do it. Feel free to call me anytime, even before 20th January, that is before I assume my office. And that's the Pakistani newspapers published that as the transcript of the conversation between the Prime Minister and the President. And so my observation was this. I said, in the Donald Trump conversation with the Prime Minister of Pakistan, we have an example of the, quote, Trump schmooze diplomacy, end of quote. I wonder what the conversation will be like if Trump has to use, quote, Trump tough talk diplomacy on a foreign leader. Can you imagine Trump going off? I mean, in the same way that he can go into hyper schmooze, what if his psyche decides to go off on somebody in this, like, you know, tirade of profanity? I mean, who knows what he could unleash, right?
Right. Very interesting. One other thing I just wanted to bring up quickly and to get your comment on, and it's something you stated on the last program about Obama's records being sealed, his Columbia University, Occidental College, Harvard Law School, even the time when he taught law at Chicago Law School, his Chicago law practice, his Illinois State Senate records. Do you think that we'll see a time when these records are open up so that the American people can see what has gone on?
Not within his lifetime. And Andy Bashago made a very good point. That is that the reason why Obama, and this was made in a presentation that we did back in 2012. People can see it online in a PowerPoint that we have online. And that is that Obama sealed his academic transcripts because they show that he received his funding for university schooling as, quote, a foreign student. Which he was. He was Indonesian. And that would have disqualified him to be U.S. president. So when he became president, they had to clean all of that up and put it, seal everything. And then that was part of the making of the Manchurian candidate, Barack Obama, a.k.a. Barry Satoru Soebarka, of the Subud faith.
Last question, Alfred. Do you think that the shadow government has met with Donald Trump already?
He's been briefed for a long time. When he was on those programs back in the 80s and the 90s, you know, with Oprah Winfrey, et cetera, and saying, oh, I might run for president, et cetera, he could hardly control his smirks. You don't get Mar-a-Lago for $6 billion under the table for nothing. He's been briefed for a long time. In Back to the Future 2, which is released in 1995, the Chronogarchy leaked two things to the screenwriters. They said the Chicago Cubs will win the World Series for the first time in 107 years, simultaneously at the same time that Donald Trump will rise to prominence and win the presidency. And so they put that in a 1995 film. That happened the week before the election in 2016.
That was actually in a film?
In the 1995 film.
That's amazing.
If you read our article, newsinsideout.com, that was released, I'll send it to you.
Excellent.
It was released November 3rd, 2016. It points all of this out, that the Chronogarchy knew in 1971 that Donald Trump would be president. It leaked to the producers of Back to the Future 2, released in 1995, these facts so they could put them in a film. And that happened the week before the election. The Chicago Cubs won the series for the first time in 100-plus years, and Donald Trump rise to prominence and going on to win the election. And that's the Chronogarchy's signature. And it was also, he has a card in the Illuminati cards that were released in 1995. 9/11 has an Illuminati card. All of these events were released as signatures by the Illuminati, otherwise known as the Chronogarchy, because it was the Vatican that supposedly invented the chronovisor, according to the myth, that then they subcontracted to the Pentagon.
Well, Alfred, it's always a great pleasure to speak with you. Please tell the listeners about your website and any interesting interviews you might have coming up, or and your new book.
Sure. Well, our websites are exopolitics.com and newsinsideout.com, and of course we have Exopolitics TV. Our books are Exopolitics, Politics, Government, and Law in the Universe. And I'm the only author in history that was informed that his book was time traveled back in time. Supposedly, I was told that. And also the Omniverse, published in 2014. It's one of two books published simultaneously in 2014 that simultaneously discovered the Omniverse. And now in 2017, we'll be having Awakening coming out.
Excellent. Alfred, it's always a pleasure. Have a great evening, sir.
Thank you very much.